The Hand of Brass. Episode 6. Casting of Shadows.
Rise, Sir Branador.
A tall man with raven black hair and a sword with a crescent moon pommel rose from his bow and looked to Queen Tatiana of Valamendia. She was a commanding woman, gracefully entering her 50s. Her eyes embodied a fierceness that put all in their place. The moonlight shone through the high windows, illuminating the Alamandian banners that hung on the walls.
What would you have of me, my queen?
Sir Branador, I have summoned you to this private council for a matter of utmost secrecy. Not even King Titus is to know of this. To release this information to anyone other than those I deem vital will bring death. Are we understood?
My life for yours, Your Grace.
Good. You have always been exceptionally loyal, both as knight and spy in my service. Now I must ask you to lead. You are to take a small troop beyond our borders and seek out a particular relic. This quest is of dire importance. In fact, the fate of Alamandia hangs in the balance.
What is this relic?
I wish you to seek out the Scroll of Adon by any means necessary. This scroll must be acquired and brought to me.
Such urgency over a scroll? Forgive my forwardness, Your Highness, but I do not understand why an old piece of parchment may be worth such a risk.
This scroll is the last of its kind. Once there were many of these holy manuscripts, but they have been lost to the ages or meddling of the Draconians. And this is the only one remaining. This scroll may very well hold the key to winning this war.
But we have already lost the war. Berenia and Attalus have long since claimed their victory.
My husband has resigned to defeat, but I have not. The war still goes on, Sir Branador, and you would be a fool to believe otherwise. Alamandia will arise the victor. Mark my words.
There will not, my queen. For this troop, do I have permission to recruit from our more magically inclined warriors?
Ah, great minds think alike, Sir Branador. You have 2 days' time to gather your men. Then you shall leave by ship to Berenia.
Berenia? Is that wise? Wouldn't a ship full of armed Alamandians raise suspicion?
Under normal circumstances, it would. But some time ago, I sent a certain gift to King Leontes that will provide more than enough distraction for you to go unnoticed. You have my full faith, Sir Branador. You are dismissed.
My queen.
Duncan and Elric stood in the alleyway of the Tickled Pig, a tavern residing in the small town of Bjornsson, a day west of the Berenian capital. It was near midnight as they stood surrounded by 4 large men.
Well, gentlemen, I propose we take this outside. Mano a mano, as the Italians say.
Duncan!
We are outside. We did this part already.
All right.
You were much better with your quips 2 drinks ago when you were getting us into this fight. I hope you're not too far gone to finish it.
Well, gentlemen, let's get this done, shall we?
Duncan clumsily struggled out of his shirt and threw it to the ground.
Hey there, make this fair. Take your gauntlet off.
This thing doesn't come off, so I'm just gonna have to fight you with one hand tied behind my back. Well, gentlemen, shall we get started?
The ruffian headbutted Duncan, knocking him to the ground. Elric, seeing this unfair advantage, stomped hard on the man's foot with his dwarven prosthetic leg, then proceeded to punch the man in the groin, toppling the towering foe. Duncan, though intoxicated, nimbly sprung back to his feet as the remaining 3 men attempted to swarm him and Elric. Thinking quickly, Elric springboarded off of the unconscious brute and tackled another foe to the ground. Though Elric was shorter, he was a heavy ball of drunken dwarven fury. Elric then suddenly felt an arm grip around his throat, choking him. Elric reached behind his head and grabbed the thug by the ears and pulled hard. Using all of his might, he flipped the man over onto the ground in front of him, landing partially on his pinned companion. Elric spun, looking for Duncan, and saw him locked in a grapple with the remaining thug, delivering a haymaker to the man's jaw. As the fighting continued, Celine stepped out of the tavern with a glass of wine and spectated the brawl.
Well, Decius, that solves that then. I should have called you on that bet.
Yes, it seems Duncan really can fight without his sword. I was wrong, you were right. Is that what you wanted to hear?
I think it goes without saying. Just look at the evidence in front of us, Decius. Surrounded, 2-1. These two seem to be unstoppable.
They are reckless. Duncan in particular. Though a fine protector, it seems he can't always keep his mouth shut when necessary. This whole violent outburst could have been avoided if he had just kept his mouth shut.
This is true. But there's something strangely exciting about this, isn't there?
Absolutely not. Abhorrent violence such as this is the resort of lesser men.
Oh, come on, Decius. You've always been such a wet blanket about this. Oh my, did you see that? I wouldn't even know how to describe what happened there.
I will concede that was somewhat impressive. I wouldn't have guessed he was so flexible.
The dust settled on the brawl. Four ruffians lay strewn about, grumbling and battered, with Duncan and Elric standing bruised but victorious. Duncan grabbed his shirt and slung it over his shoulder as he patted Elric on the back.
Thirsty work requires thirsty wine, as the dwarves say, hey, Elric?
Not quite the proverb, but I fully agree. I'm buying the next round! Celine, how would you like to drink with these champions?
I will join momentarily. I just need some air.
Duncan and Elric proceeded back into the Tickled Pig Tavern.
You should rest tonight. You'll need to be in good form tomorrow when you reach the capital. Who knows what the self-proclaimed peasant king of Berenia is like?
They are calling him the Great Liberator, a savior of the people. Berenians are saying he killed the tyrant king and usurped the throne to lead his people to greatness and prosperity.
What of the tyrant king's princess, Diala? Beheaded, no doubt?
The peasant king apparently has her locked away in her bedroom until they can figure out the best course of action. He seems merciful and kind. He sees that she is not like her father and would not wish to needlessly kill. Some folk call for her head, while the rest believe the peasant king knows best.
He seems to have a lot to do in this broken nation. I pray to Adon that we can get an audience with him sooner rather than later.
Decius, are you all right? What's happening?
This place. The dark magic of this place is overwhelming. It'll pass. I just have to hold on a little longer.
Duncan ran as fast as he possibly could. His legs were exhausted and his breath was caught in his throat. His brass hand clutched at his bleeding chest as he collapsed on the cold marble floor, his mind racing for an exit out of this hellhole. He could find none. He saw only death. Looking to his right, he saw what was left of Elric's corpse, his intestines strewn about as if he'd been ripped apart by wild animals. Duncan turned around and saw that it was still following him. He reached for his sword, only to find an empty scabbard. Duncan made a feeble attempt to get up, but fell once more. His body had given everything it had. So much death, Duncan thought. This is how it all ends. The gray man grabbed Duncan by the bloody shirt and effortlessly lifted him up. Their eyes met. The gray man stared into Duncan's soul. Slowly, he plucked his crown of holly from his own head and placed it on Duncan's. The gray man smiled before taking a deep, rasping breath and speaking.
Duncan! It's time to get up! You don't normally sleep this late. Are you all right? You and Elric seemed to have a wonderful time last night, but we're running late. I want to make it to the Berenian capital by evening.
Duncan's head pounded and stomach turned. He had not felt this hungover in a very long time. He looked around the room he'd rented from the Tickled Pig Tavern. It was a quaint little room, a straw bed with a wool blanket, a side table with a single tiny drawer barely big enough to fit a coin purse, and a window that looked down into the alley where they had brawled the night before. Duncan rubbed his face, then jerked back in pain. There was a growing welt on his forehead where the ruffian had headbutted him. Duncan sat up, and carefully avoiding the bruise, put his head in his hands. He then realized he was drenched in sweat. These nightmares were becoming more frequent, each more vivid than the last. He dreamt of battles, cataclysms, and death, led by a gray man with a holly crown, and in each one he would awake just before the man would speak.
Duncan!
Let me try. Maybe we have to bang the door louder. Humans tend to sleep forever after a good drink. Duncan! Get your britches on, let's get moving!
All right, I'm up! Malness is blood.
Duncan began to get dressed, then paused for a moment to feel his brass hand. A foreign invention of the dwarves of the Horusane Mountains. Despite its metallic look, it was always warm. Celine theorized it was a magical energy that created the warmth, but she also warned him to be very wary and let her know right away if it ever started overheating. Duncan opened the door to see Elric smiling widely at him.
Well, well, well. If it isn't our sommelier finally gracing us with his presence. Dorvino packs quite a beautiful punch, doesn't it? Any more nights like that, and you may need a brass liver to go with your hand.
Adon, may I never drink that much again. Dorvino is fine wine, but Best enjoyed in small doses.
Elric pulled Duncan down to his height and put his arm around his shoulders.
You fight well and you drink well, Duncan. Come along. Celine just went downstairs. Let's get you something to eat.
Elric patted Duncan playfully on the stomach, causing Duncan to run back to his room to vomit. Brannock effortlessly parried and slid Cromwell's blade away before rushing forward with his shoulder, pushing Cromwell off balance and knocking him down.
Again, Your Highness. Focus, and mind your footwork.
The morning sun was in my eyes, that's all.
And don't grip your sword so tightly. Remember what I taught you. Hold it as if you were holding a small bird in your hands, with enough strength to hold it firmly in place, but not so much you would crush it.
Cromwell threw his sword to the ground in frustration. He had been training for what felt like hours in the castle courtyard, and he was getting angrier by the minute. He should be much better than Brannock by now, shouldn't he? After all, he finished off the Tyrant King so easily armed with only a dagger. Surely a long sword would be more than enough to defeat Brannock. But wait. Cromwell shook his head. Of course Brannock could easily defeat him. Brannock was a versed swordsman. Why was he thinking this way? He was nothing but a humble horse farmer before all of this. A damned good one at that. Many had called him a mighty horse whisperer.
Your temper, Cromwell. Pick up your blade. The best way you can be a strong leader for Berenia is if you know how to demonstrate proper swordplay with a cool and collected mind. You'll lose the council, nay, the people's support, if they suddenly see such rage. Let's try again.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure what came over me.
Just as Brannock and Cromwell were about to duel again, a pair of Cromwell's finest royal knights entered the courtyard and bowed low.
Your Highness the Peasant King! We bring great tidings. It is true.
Rise, Sir Richard, Sir Colton. What tidings? What is true?
He has come. The man with the hand of brass seeks an audience with you.
Cromwell's heart skipped a beat. Perhaps Constantine's prophecy was true after all. Cromwell looked to Brannock, mouth agape in shock.
Gentlemen, have the throne room made ready for an audience. I'll escort the king to his chambers where he may prepare.
Yes, Sir Brannock.
Come, Cromwell. We best be ready to meet this man. Should we inform Constantine?
If you know where to find him, then yes. I have not seen Constantine for quite some time.
I'll have some of my spy network seek him out, if that is your wish, Your Highness.
Your Highness. It is still so strange to hear, yet it feels... right.
Brannock escorted Cromwell back to the king's bedroom and bid him adieu with a bow. Cromwell wandered about the room. It was still surreal to him that a month ago he had become the most powerful man in Berenia. All of the former Tyrant King's decor and paraphernalia had been taken out and redecorated as a symbol of renewal, all except for the ornate Elemendian mirror. There was something about this mirror that infatuated Cromwell. Its textures, its framework, its reflection. Being a farmer, Cromwell had never had the luxury of a mirror, or at least nothing of this quality. The image before him was crystal clear. He was a good-looking orc. Tall, strong, his beard was thick and well-groomed. He gazed at his reflection more.
Who is this man with the hand of brass? Constantine speaks highly of him. So highly, in fact, that he boasts this man may be the savior of Berenia. I highly doubt that. I have already saved Berenia. Any further foe coming for us will surely be thwarted by me and me alone. Oh, but perhaps he is my challenge. Could this man with the hand of brass be the menace that comes? Perhaps Constantine's vision was misinterpreted. Surely, had I seen it, I would be more adept at translating this vision. Just look at me. I will meet this man. And if he makes the slightest move against me, I swear by the Watcher himself, I'll tear his throat out with my bare hands.
Hey there, thanks for listening. If you really enjoyed what you heard, leave a rate and review, and keep up to date with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Hand of Brass. And if you want to support us further, check out our Patreon. You can get exclusive access to bonus footage, behind the scenes, interviews, and more. Thanks again for listening.